Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We would also invite you to watch our TV program, which follows this radio broadcast, at 8 a.m. on Channel 6 of your public access station entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. It runs from 8 to 8:30, and you will learn more about this wonderful book, the Bible. We also invite you to look at our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We have the previous radio broadcast on there, TV programs, and also all types of literature and things that can help you in your study of God's book. We also invite you to our service times that will be given at the end of this broadcast. We invite you to all of our worship services. You will always be warmly received. We are examining the overview of the Bible to give you a flavor of what the Bible is all about. Now we're in the minor prophets, and we're going to look at probably the most famous minor prophet, and that is the prophet Jonah. The book of Jonah is 4 chapters and 48 verses long, yet the only prophecy of the book consists of 8 words in Jonah 3 and verse 4. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The book is more about the man Jonah than the message which he proclaimed. The name and the man. His name means dove. He was the son of Amiti from Gath-Heber, according to 2 Kings 14:25. This city was located in the regions of Zebulun's tribal inheritance, according to Joshua 19:13, which were located somewhere between Mount Carmel and the Sea of Galilee, thought to be about 4 miles northeast, what later would become Nazareth of Galilee. He was a historical person, not one just made up in a myth. Please read the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 12:38-41. Jonah was the only prophet whose major recorded activity is on foreign soil. The only minor prophet mentioned by Jesus, and whom he likened himself to in Matthew the 12th chapter in verse 38-41. A narrow-minded, easily upset, patriotic Jew who was displeased with his success. A prophet who was first disobedient, later a successful preacher, yet he must give Jonah some credit. He wrote a book, and indeed he did, which was highly critical of himself. Facts about the book. The book is more historical than prophetical. A book about a narrow-minded prophet and a merciful God. A book which is ridiculed, maligned, and denied and ridiculed by an unbelieving world, described as just a great fish story. Many refused to believe a fish could be big enough to swallow a man, and the man lived 3 days in the belly of that fish and lived to tell the story. Yet, remember who prepared the fish. According to Jonah 1 verse 7, God did that. And then we remember the words asked by Moses in Genesis 18:14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? This has made this book a subject to many different interpretations. Yet, this book is historical. The facts did really happen, and Jesus talked about them in Matthew the 12th chapter, 38-41. This is a book of preparations by God. Notice in the context, he prepared a great fish in Jonah 1:7. He prepared a plant in Jonah 4:6. He prepared a worm in Jonah 4:7 and a vehement east wind in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 8. These are facts, not myths. The date is around the reign of Jeroboam II, according to 2 Kings 14:25. Some fix the date around 739 to 792 to 753 BC. Under Jeroboam's prosperous reign, Israel's borders were extended further than at any time following the division of the kingdom in 1 Kings chapter 12. Some believe Jeroboam's success was due in part to his following the instructions of Jonah. But prior to Jeroboam II, from the days of Jehu, his great-grandfather, Israel had been forced to pay tribute to Assyria. Notwithstanding the strength and prosperity of Israel were during Jeroboam's reign, it would be but a few short years before Assyria would swallow up Israel, taking the people captive. The place of Jonah's labors are in Nineveh. Nineveh, according to chapter 1 and verse 2, this is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. This is Israel's cruel enemy, 500 miles east from modern Iraq. Most violent and a very cruel people, founded by Nimrod in Genesis 10 and verse 11. A great city fortified by 100 feet walls with an estimated population of over 600,000 inhabitants. The outline by Jonah is very easy to follow. Jonah's call and flight to Tarshish is discussed in chapters 1 through 16. Jehovah gives a charge to Jonah to go to Nineveh, but the prophet is disobedient in the first three verses. A great wind comes up, and then Jonah confesses that he's running away from God in verses 4 through 10. Jonah is punished when he tells them to throw him into the sea, and then the sea will quit its raging, and indeed that's done in verses 11 through 16 of chapter 1. And then Jonah's miraculous preservation in the great fish prepared by God is in the end of chapter 1 and the first 10 verses of chapter 2. This fish was prepared by God, and Jonah prayed from deep within the fish's belly, according to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. And then he was delivered by God and vomited out on dry ground, according to Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10. Now God gives a second call to Jonah to go to Nineveh in chapter 3. The call, the response, and the message are recorded in the first four verses of chapter 3. Repentance and Jehovah's gracious change came in verses 5 through 10, when from the king to the lowliest servant repented in sackcloth and ashes. Yet a narrow prophet versus the merciful God is really discussed in chapter 4. Joseph's anger at Nineveh's repentance in verse 1 through 5. Also the gourd and the vine and the worm in verses 6 through 8 was to teach humility and value of small things to Jonah. And Jonah's rebuke and God's rebuke and lesson of the gourd and the vine are recorded in verses 9 through 11. Sometimes it's easy to outline the book of Jonah in a very simplistic way. He was a disobedient prophet, running away from God in chapter 1. He was the disciplined prophet, running back to the Lord in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, he was running with the Lord as a dynamic prophet. Then he's the disappointed prophet, trying to get ahead of God in chapter number 4. In chapter number 1, we see the prophet's commission. Go to Nineveh and cry against it. God wanted them to have an opportunity to repent. So what does the prophet do? He flees to Tarshish. Tarshish, thought to be in southwestern Spain, is 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. He's running from his duty. The prophet's predicament, because of his lack to fulfill God's command, God sends a great wind in verse 4. The mariners are afraid and cry to their gods in verse 5. He's asleep in the midst of such danger chapter 1 and verse 5, and the heathen are asking a prophet to call on his God in verse 6. Jonah reveals and identifies that he's the one to blame in verse 7. The heathen try to save him, but cared more for him than he had for them. And finally, he's thrown into the sea, and he's swallowed up by a great fish in chapter 1, verse 17. But inside the belly of the great fish, Jonah prays. He prays because of his afflictions in verse number 2. But the Lord heard his voice. He said his soul fainted in verse 7. He remembered the Lord in verse 7. He prayed to the right source. Jonah promised to sacrifice and to pay his vows in verse 9. And the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited him out on dry ground in chapter 2 and verse 10. The prophet's commission is given again in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, to go and preach to Nineveh. Jonah went to Nineveh in verses 3 and 4, and Nineveh had 40 days to repent or face the wrath of God in verse number 8. The people's response, they believed God, and they repented. And they bore fruit to repentance, according to verses 5 through 9, and it says in verse 10 that God turned away from the evil that he had said he would do to them because of their sin. God's response to their response, he relented and he spared them because of their repentance. But in chapter number 4, Jonah's attitude towards God's mercy is he's displeased and angry. He's displeased that his preaching was successful. How can that be? He's angry that God's mercy has been extended. Jonah reveals why he first refused to go. He did not want Nineveh to be saved. He did not want the city to be spared. He thought they deserved to be destroyed. God prepared him a plant to shade his head in the hot sun. And then God prepared a worm to damage the plant. And then God prepared a vehement east wind to beat upon Jonah, and so much for that it was getting his attention and he wanted to die. And then God reasons with Jonah in verse 9 and 10. Listen. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, is it right for me to be angry even to death? But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And how should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much livestock? In other words, he had more care and concern for that plant and that gourd that gave him protection than all the souls that were in Nineveh that could be spared if they were given and accepted the opportunity to repent. Now, let's just talk about a couple lessons in the closing moments that we can derive from Jonah. Number one is God loves all people, even of the heathen nation. John 3:16 teaches that. If he didn't love the Ninevites and he didn't love Assyria, why did he give them the opportunity to repent? The folly of running away from God. You can't run away from God. Jonah ran in the opposite direction, but it wasn't fast and it wasn't far enough, because we cannot escape the presence of God. Please read Hebrews 4, verse 13. He sees and knows all that we do. Also, take a look at Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. And you will see that there is nowhere man is hidden from the God in heaven. Another lesson that we would do well to remember is when God demands a difficult and disagreeable duty, it's better to go than to run away from it. Jonah had a duty to go to Nineveh. He tried to run, and therefore he suffered the consequences until he did what God said. We have responsibilities and duties that God has given us as husbands and wives, as parents, as mothers and fathers, duties to the Lord, duties to the church. And we have free will whether or not we'll carry out those duties. But if we run away from them like Jonah ran away from his, we have that opportunity to do that, but we will suffer the consequences and many other people will suffer them along with us. The tendency to value things over people. This is one of the greatest lessons of the book of Jonah. He had more concern for the plant that had given him shade and given him protection from the heat than he did for souls who were lost in sin. May it never be so with us. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in this life that we forget what is really important. God died to save the sinner. And we as his children must love the sinner. And we must never, ever not take the opportunity to express to a sinner God's love for them and the opportunity for them to come to existence to God, with God, by coming in contact with his word. Yes, Jonah is a prophet that ran away from God, that did not want God's mercy extended to the heathen nation. He was wrong and we're wrong. Man cannot run away from God. Man needs to run to God. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.